Welcome to episode 38 of season 9 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the last two really, really bad Die Hard movies, Die Hard 4.0 and Die Hard 5, which is also known as A Good Day to Die Hard, even though, as Niall told me before we started recording today, why?
My heart.
5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to try to make it through another 5 minutes of this movie is Niall McGowan of the Bat Minute. Welcome back. Thank you for being willing to jump on the sword.
Yeah. I was tempted to come in with a kind of fake, like, usually I would say thank you for having me, but fuck you, Rob. Fuck you for putting me on.
You can say that.
But I wouldn't do that to you. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Rob. So I'm happy to come on to talk about whatever for the Movie Rob podcast. I'm just hoping in next time it will be under better circumstances.
Yeah, me too. We finished Die Hard, so you should be okay from that perspective.
I mean, there's gotta be worse franchises with worse sequels out there. Although currently none pop immediately. I did watch with some friends the other day for the first. I'd only ever seen the first one, but I watched all 10 hours of the Twilight franchise. The other just this Sunday past there.
Yeah, I could also ask why of that one, but okay.
Oh, they're fairly good. That one midway through. I don't know if it was kind of like a. You know, like you just sort of go limp through them or whatever. But like the first one's pretty bad, but it's like it's kind of funny sometimes. The second one's unbearable, and then the third one is like, oh, this is okay. This one, I don't know if I'm just getting used to it. And then the last couple of ones, then they're like, oh, it's kind of just getting goofy now. And to be fair, the fourth one and most of the fifth one, we watched at 1.5 speed. Which did add a lot to it being more entertaining that way. Like, so we...
Why so slow?
And then we also got... it was because of the way the Blu-ray player worked. We tried to bump it up to like a 2 or a 3. But it would only go from like normal to 1.5 to 10. And so we couldn't read the subtitles that way.
Okay, I don't know why someone would want to watch a movie at 10 speed. That's a little too much.
Yeah, yeah. But it was good though, because we were just mostly talking over them. And making fun of them. But my friend Emily, she was like an old school, she was like a teenager when the books came out. So she was there going like ahead of time going, so this is what's going to happen in this scene, just so you know what's going on. So we never lost track of what was happening. She was always there to be like, oh yeah, you could tell it was slightly killing her because we're just mocking it so much. But she's like, oh yeah, they're stupid. But I do love these films so much. You have to understand that. Like, that's like, this was my life for a while with Twilight. It was good fun, to be fair. In the end, we played Twilight Bingo. My friend Roberta, she drew up bingo cards for different cliches in the franchise. We won stickers. I just bought a new laptop, so I've got the. I was like, oh, I better get some stickers for it. And I just won a load of Twilight stickers to put on it. Some of them are Twilight. Some of them are just like cool little stickers of ghosts and stuff. So it turned out to be. But I was trying to think, oh, maybe Twilight would be. Maybe the second one would be worse than Die Hard 5. But no, I'd rather watch Twilight 2 again. Than a Good Day to Die Hard.
I think you're right. It's a good day to ask why hard. I think that makes more sense.
The only positive I get out of this is that the title, A Good Day to Die Hard, does make me think of when I was in university, my friend Ross briefly tried to develop like a techno music career. And the only song he made was called It's a Good Day Today, and it was just, it's awful, and he's since deleted it from the face of the earth. But I wish I had a copy, because it was just him with a kind of vocoder over his voice going like, it's a good day today, cloudy with a chance of rain, like just like a ish, 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 in the background over and over and over and over. But he displayed it very proudly, and then we should have been trying to be more supportive, I guess, but everyone was pissing themselves laughing at so much that we're like, no, man, you can't. I don't see a future for you in the DJ techno world that you just decided this morning that you wanted to enter. But now every time that I see the title "A Good Day to Die Hard," I keep thinking about a good day with a chance of rain. So, but yeah, that's all the good stuff about this chunk, I gotta say. Let's descend into the doldrums here of
So
the
we finished the movie. That's what you're talking about. Nothing else to talk about.
We're done. The
We're
whole
done.
thing's like, McClane jumps out a window, whatever. It's over. You know, because you know at the end, him and Jack are, and Jack keeps calling him John. It's like, I know he's gonna call him Dad at the end. I know he's gonna go back. Who cares? Like, just get it over with already, will you?
Right. So episode 38 begins with Jack and John seeking safety, and ends with the plot thickening, or actually probably not. So we ended things yesterday with the helicopter starting to shoot at John and Jack, and the two of them have no idea what they're going to do. And John goes, "Come on!" And he picks up his gun, and the two of them run across the room, completely, in the direction of where all of these bullets are flying. And John goes, "Let's get out of this building," which is a great plan, And then we hear, then sorry, that as they're running across the room, the helicopter keeps shooting into the building and keeps barely missing them, and they run all the way across the room. John throws his gun, and then the two of them just decide to jump out the window. And like you said, this would have been a great place just to end the movie, and that would have been it. Just, they don't even know what's under the window. They just jump out they just fly out the window with the hope that there's going to be something there. I don't know.
Well, you see John McClane in Windows. The thing is, like, the worst
So
thing a movie can
where's the
do is
fire
remind.
hose if he's going to do that?
Yeah, it can be the worst thing it can do is remind you of a much better film you could be watching. So, like, the tension in Die Hard of him knowing the roof is about to explode. I need to get off this building somehow. What can I do? I can't just throw myself over the ledge because that would be stupid. So he does the whole thing of like a fire hose, and then it comes loose, and then you get the added tension, and then him having to shoot the window. Like, oh, and then the freaking thing's too heavy, so when it falls off the roof, because like, it's constantly mounting tension of the weight then dragging him out the window, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What a sequence! What a film! And then you got this one where it's just like, yeah, these two dildos just decide, oh, what the hell? We got the screenwriters can't think of anything else, so they're like, they literally just jump out one of the top floors of the skyscraper and just like, hey, whatever happens happens, I guess,
Yeah,
which is
again.
pretty dopey, which is even worse the fact that then immediately afterwards they just get up and walk away as if nothing happened.
Well,
Like, it's
before they get up and walk away, they happen to land on scaffolding. So maybe part of the plan was is they knew from outside that, they're doing construction on the, I don't know, western side of the building. So, if you're gonna jump out a window, that's the way you go. Maybe John was so smart that he planned that ahead.
Well, if that would be fair enough if they would then convey that in the film, but from all we get is just like they're just jumping out the window because they got nowhere else to go, and
That's
they're just like, I guess death by, falling on the ground is gonna be better than if they had a little thing about McClane no, like commenting on that or like just something to indicate that like, oh, I know that there's scaffolding there, so we'll be okay. It
yeah,
would be
again,
at
very
least
strange.
something, you know, but. This part of me did wish though that they just had canopies that they just kept plunging through, and then they both just land on the ground, and then these alley cats come out and start like chewing on their fingers and stuff, and then John McClane becomes a cat woman afterwards and goes on a latex based
Why does it
whip
sound like
featuring
that? Like you've heard this somewhere else, or you've seen this, something like
one
that. I don't know.
of our
It's
biggest debates. That still has been never been resolved in Batman Returns is like, does Selina Kyle die when she jumps out that window, or does she, and is she literally resurrected by the cats, or do the canopies break her fall enough that she just bangs her head and that she just wakes up so like mentally broken that like I went for the latter. John swears up and down like no, she dies and literally becomes a cat woman. Like that's they're showing you her dying. It's like, oh, why the canopies? Why bother with the canopies then? But
To make it a little fluffier, you know.
I guess it'd be like, otherwise he would just be like smushed all over the ground and stuff. But then, like, the Joker in the first movie falls off a freaking church tower. His body's perfectly intact at the bottom, so you just believe it anyway. But that's, I'm just desperate to talk about any movie that's not Die Hard 5, so forgive me for dragging Batman Returns into
That's
this.
okay. Not a problem at all. So the two of them are on this awning. Sorry, they're outside, on this scaffold, trying to figure out what to do. And the two of them seem to be aching a little bit, but they're still not, they're not down for the count yet. And the helicopter pilot sees them, and we hear him say, "Where are they?" And then Alec goes, "Come on." And then Irina goes, "Alec, that's it. We're done." They can't figure out what they want to do here. And it's a good thing that this scaffolding has like all of this like fabric around it, so it helps them camouflage and conceal themselves.
And it's
Because
got the
otherwise that wouldn't have worked.
it also has like the debris chute as well,
Okay, and then
which is
they happen to notice that under the planks of the wood, if they break through them, they're able to go down to through a chute, which, as you said, a debris chute. Now, the thing I find completely crazy about this is that the chute, we can clearly see from the outside that it is completely vertical. It goes straight down. But when they show us them sliding on the inside, it looks like they are sliding, at like a water park type of thing, where maybe it's going in a circular motion or something like that. So it's just very, very strange the way that they did that.
So expecting a shot of them finding Homer Simpson stuck in the H2O as they're flying down there, but like in a more fun movie as well. Like this could have been a really good sequence of them going down a debris chute as well, but it's just a real messy cluster cuss of a whatever at this point.
Exactly. Again, it looks like it's a quote unquote fun ride for them, but that's about it. That's the most you're gonna get of this. This is not but they keep showing us shots that make it look like they are not flying directly down, but then the helicopter just starts shooting and destroys the chute itself, but thankfully isn't smart enough to shoot at the bottom part of the thing. It's as if they're trying to track them instead of, doing it that you're shooting in front of them. You're shooting
Yeah,
behind them.
you know, there's only one route they can get out via. They have to come out that hole at the bottom.
That's right.
So just keep concentrating down there.
Yeah,
It's
again.
almost as if they didn't think things out, as if the screenwriters didn't think things out.
Well, I think
They
they did,
literally
but
put
they just
their
wanted to make it look, They want to make it look good, but not it. But the fact that it doesn't make sense is the problem.
It's
That's the
oh.
issue we have here. So
Yeah.
whatever. Yeah, they end up landing on piles of junk on the bottom, but they're fine. But the helicopter just
Yeah.
the helicopter takes they take Irina's advice and they get out of there. Let's go, break left, copy, commander. And
But again, though, so like them just walking away. I get so much of, like, as I was saying in the other episode, like, you had in the 80s the hyper-masculinity of Rambo, where nothing fazed them, etc., etc. And then Die Hard made waves because John Wayne or John McClane was such a relatable character in that you could see how everything was affecting him. And you could see him getting worn down and properly, like, a guy out of his depth. Normal human man out of his depth, having to go through exceptional circumstances and stuff. And every time after stuff would happen, you had a moment of him like reflecting, like him reacting to what just occurred to him. Again, great scene of him picking glass out of his feet, and then getting emotional with Powell on the line afterwards, and just like it's all very like that's what Die Hard is. So then for like have a him in action with his son and the two of them to go through all this, and the two of them don't even have like a little reaction of each other of like the son been like, Jesus, and his dad been like, ah, oh, I'm through stuff like that all the time, or flip it and have McClane been like, Jesus Christ, and his tough ass son been like, oh, I'm CIA guy, like, I go through stuff like that all the time, or to just have them do literally anything just to have a character moment there to kind of remind you that these are supposed to be human men. Would just be like a thing that anyone would probably think to put in this, but it's like no massive action sequence. The two of them just walk away. They don't even have you don't even see their faces after they get out to indicate panic or anything.
Right,
It's just like
they just
okay,
walk across the street without a problem. Yeah,
yeah.
no problem at all.
It's just a real. It's like do 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 do. Like another a day in the life of McClane, which is. I'm thinking that's the approach that the writers took, though. It's like, well, we all know he's an immortal badass. And I was like, no, he's not. Like, that's not the point of him. But they are continuing on from, as you pointed out, though, Die Hard 4, where it was like at the end, he was a mortal badass guy. So, yeah. Maybe you can't blame the. What call the guy Skip Woods? Is it the screenwriter? Maybe you can't blame. If
It
he was
doesn't
just
sound like a
working
real
off,
name.
like,
I think that I wouldn't want to put I wouldn't have put my name on this movie.
yeah. Although I will also say too, because I didn't realize the director was from, he's from, yeah, Dundalk in Ireland. But he's John Moore. I went to school with a John Moore as well.
Maybe it's him.
But you, no, I double checked. I was like, Jesus Christ, I didn't go to school with the guy who wrote Die Hard 5 or directed Die Hard 5. But no. It's a completely different man. But of course, now I live in Liverpool as well, and there's John Moore's University, is a big thing over there. Presumably not named after the guy who made that Die Hard 5, but I'll have to look into their history. I'm pretty sure they didn't name it after him because the university did exist before Die Hard, A Good Day to Die Hard did. But maybe they also admired his work in was it IT, like the Pierce Brosnan movie or whatever other crap he made.
Who knows?
I'm sure he's a very nice man.
I'm
I'm sure
sure he is
John Moore is a
too,
lovely
but
man. But.
he jumped at the chance to direct a Die Hard movie, but just chose the wrong one.
It's one of those ones too. Like, if you're a director in the world, like, if someone offers you like a Die Hard movie, of course you're gonna be like, yeah, of course I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, but are
But
you
it's
gonna
just
read the
like,
script and say, oh, well, do I want my name to be on this or not?
yeah. We'll also say too. I forgot to give him a little shout out because think of the Die Hard directors, John McTiernan, incredible director. As a person, you know, whatever. But Rennie Harlan, up and down like a yo-yo, but did direct Nightmare on Elm Street 4. So I forgot to give him a shout out when I was doing my Elm Street
Ah,
appraisal there last episode.
that's true.
And he's like, Elm Street 4 is probably like the third best of them as well. So he was doing it. It's very Elm Street by numbers, but he did a great job with it. It's some of the best kills in that too. Like
Yeah.
lady getting turned into a bug and caught in a roach motel and stuff. And yeah, someone recommended because I was on Deep Blue Sea Minute not too long back too, and those guys recommended like a really bonker sounding Rennie Harlan movie from way back when. I was like,
Well,
I really
Jay
gotta
and
watch
Mark
that.
love all Rennie Harlan stuff, so that doesn't surprise me
Yeah,
at all.
they mentioned one he did in the 80s though. And I was like, how in the name of God have I not heard of that before? And they're like, oh, it's absolutely amazing. So like, I've forgotten about it, but now I'll have to make a note this week to
Born
watch whatever that
American?
movie was again. No, I think it was one of the ones. It was like a one word title. It was like something like I think it might have literally been called like Prison or something. It was like I'm sure like yeah. I won't get up his IMDb just so we can talk about Rennie Harlan instead of Die Hard 5,
No,
which is
we got to get
kind
through
of what
this one. We
the vibe we're going down is.
we gotta talk about this one. We'll put the Rennie Harlan stuff on hold.
But to go from like you know the McTiernan to Rennie Harlan, who's you know a guy, of a, it's a mixed bag guy, but like he does deliver some bangers. To you know even Len Wiseman is like he's a dependable, you know, the underworld is a guy is he's a guy who can deliver a movie that'll make a profit at
And
least,
he's able to make movies
and
that his wife
then
isn't in.
yeah oh yeah, but. Then John Moore is just like, who's this guy? Like, why isn't? And it feels like they could have. You'd think pitching a Die Hard movie around Hollywood would be like an easy. You would get a better director lined up. you would be able to get better screenwriters. You'd be able to get, like, this feels like they've just got whoever was available to hammer this thing out. Whereas you would think you would want it to be like, no, we need to go for, like, someone at a level of a John McTiernan. We need to get whoever's the best action guy working currently. Try to get, even if that, get, like, Edgar Wright or someone to do a Die Hard movie. Mm-hmm. Like, that'd be incredible. You got, you know, Edgar Wright in there. A guy who can do incredible action sex pieces, but also knows character as well, could probably write the script for you too, because he knows the action genre like the back of his hand. So it's just bizarre that then it's like they've literally gone for like day, you know, like a day player director of just like, oh, it's whoever that guy is, yeah, whatever. He made a short in Ireland, like he made an Irish short like 30 years ago. Let's get him to direct our Die Hard movie. And then who's this guy with his fake sounding name, he can write the script. Are you gonna look at that script before you send it in? No, it's fine. I'm sure if it's got the name John McClane in it, it'll pass. It's insane to me that this film came out this bad and seemed to be destined to do nothing but that as well. Like, it was set up for failure just by they just didn't prepare a good foundation for it at all. Yeah. Anyway.
Exactly. Okay, so then while they're on the helicopter, we see Alec take out his cell phone, and he makes a phone call, and we see that he's having a conversation with Chigarin, and he goes, "Do you have him?" And he goes, "Yes." "And the file? Does he have it?" And he goes, "I need that file, Alec." And he goes, "He's taking us to it. No more mistakes, Alec. And when you have the file, kill them both." Now, Chigarin is like walking as he's talking, and we see like hundreds of people behind him, and they all look like they're dressed up as judges. I have no idea where this is supposed to be and what's going on, and frankly, I don't really care.
It's the grand old Russian tradition of the run of the judges. It's an annual thing where they just release a load of judges into the streets. And people have to flee.
I don't know. If anyone out there knows what is apparently going on here, please let us know. Because like I said, it makes no sense, but it also, I don't really care.
I guess it's just, he's a high flying guy. Like, he's in, you know, the kind of, like the you know, he's wearing a swanky suit. He's hanging about in the legal quarter, I guess. But yeah, but it looks like it's like Reservoir Dogs, but they're dressed as judges.
Because there's so many of them. They are walking in slow motion. Exactly. It's you know, if only Tarantino was directing this, he would have he would have added.
Tarantino was directing this.
That's right.
You know, I'm sure it would be a very different, like, if Tarantino could just make a straight Die Hard film, I don't think he could, but, like, it would be something better than this, I guarantee you.
Right.
But that's just so, why are there so many judges? What is going to happen there? Like, if you, it's fair enough for me, because I didn't watch the rest of this, but, like, you've been through this thing, like, so if you're telling me that doesn't lead to anything.
Nope.
Well, yeah, what the hell, it must have been a deleted scene or something, I guess, because, like, or they're just like, we need the costume, so what have we got? Oh, yeah, they're shooting a courtroom drama down the way, let's just fire those on the extras and have them walk behind them.
Right. And again, I mean, the rest of the segment, we have 2.5 minutes now just of dialogue trying to explain to us what's going on. We see John and Jack enter like what looks like maybe a department store. Okay. And Jack lies on the ground and we see he's injured. You know, he has something stuck in his side. And he goes, and John goes, "That was exciting. Yeah, loads of fun. You want to go again? Are you shot?" "No. No, I'm fine. Let me take a look at that. It's fine." "Oh, fuck. I can't believe she betrayed her father to Chigarin. I don't understand that. Someday you will, kids." What's your next move?" "I don't know." "You don't know?" "I don't know. All right. I mean, I'm out of moves. I don't know. I don't know. I screwed up. I blew the mission. Well, then we're done, right?" "Yeah, we're done. We're done. We should just go home. We'll stop by a little pharmacy on our way out of Moscow, get you some Mercylate or Mercury, and fix up your little scratches here. Get you home, get a little toy set, get yourself a nice warm glass of milk with a little Bosco in it, and get your CIA slippers." "All right. What? I get it. What the hell are we going to do?" "What's in the file?" "Evidence on Chigarin." "Chigarin about what?" "Evidence about what?" "Chernobyl. Look, listen to me. Kamarov and Chigarin used to have this nasty little side racket going on back in the day. They siphoned weapons-grade uranium, got greedy, caused the meltdown. Then, you know, they fell out. Former partners, bad breakup, scumbags. So Shigarin had Komarov thrown in jail. You know, put him in a hole. Forget about him. Doesn't have to worry anymore. So what happened to Rescue Q? He goes, well, he grew a conscience. Yeah, well, that figures. And again, that is the 2.5 minutes of exposition that makes so little sense. And the way that they're basically telling us, okay, you have two corrupt politicians from nearly 30 years ago. And, you know, they're the ones who caused Chernobyl, and one of them has evidence on the other, and that's all we're going to tell you. You know, again, it's a classic MacGuffin, because it means absolutely nothing. It doesn't help us understand anything, even in the next, you know, 2 weeks of episodes where we're going to be seeing even more of what's going on and stuff like that. Nothing is explained.
It does that thing too, like you get in some action movies, always action movies in particular too, it gives me a slight ick of when they bring in like a real life tragedy and then we'll weave that into the plot to try to give it some clout, like, you know, X-Men Origins Wolverine, which apparently Skip Woods also wrote. that ends with the Three Mile Island, like, you know, the Deadpool and Wolverine find themselves. So maybe it's just him. Maybe he's just got a real thing. I'm like, oh yeah, nuclear disasters. I love just working them into my movies. But it just felt weird. It's like, well, Three Mile Island is an actual thing of people, you know, it was a proper tragedy and stuff like that. And then now they'll be like, oh, to give Die Hard 5 some clout, we're going to be like, yeah, the bad guy caused Chernobyl. And it's just like, just no. Just keep your greasy mitts off that, man. Like, it's, it's something about that just gives me, you know, you wouldn't excuse that of like, that caused 9/11 or something, you know, it'd be like, oh no.
That has been done. It doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sure in that scenario it would also give you the ick of being like, just don't do that, you know. But it was not a choice I appreciated whatsoever.
Especially seeing how things play out. You know, they get to Chernobyl and they spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched the rest of this movie, they get there and they have this magical spray that dissipates all the radiation that they have there. You know, that for 30 years no one's gone near the place because of the radiation, but now we have this special chemical that we can dissipate the whole thing and everything will be fine.
It's just like, it's, you know, That's some Adam West stuff right there.
Exactly.
Like, don't worry, old chum. I've got my bat anti-radiation spray.
That
I could just, like a deodorant or something. I just spray. Oh, man.
Seriously.
I would advise people, instead of watching Good Day to Die Hard, just go watch Chernobyl, the actual miniseries about Chernobyl, which is not a fun watch, but it's a much better watch than this.
That's probably true. And so thankfully we've reached the end of this 5 minute segment, of the movie, and we'll have to see what happens from here on. But Niall, is there anything else you wanted to say in general about this movie, that might, you know, how that might make people think that they want to watch the movie?
No, I would never do that to people. I would never try to trick anyone into watching this. I don't think I could, you know, I'm a, like, damn it, Rob, I'm a librarian. I'm supposed to be helping people out there, you know? No, I would, the only thing I'll say about this chunk is that, because I hadn't watched the rest of the movie, I legitimately thought this was like Jack's apartment they're arriving back in. And one of my notes was, why does he have
all those mannequins in his apartment?
Is it like target practice, or is it like, oh, this is just, he's a man addicted to sex dolls.
Yeah, I was going to say that's very creepy.
Yeah, it goes in. Like, would have appreciated that as a character moment, though. McClane coming into his son's apartment and been like, what the hell is this? You know, but no, I had no idea it was supposed to be just like a department store. Where's everybody else?
I don't know that for a fact, but it just looks that way.
I guess like a factory, maybe? Because then the factory would be like, well, there mightn't be as many people wandering around or whatever. But No, it's a but then my big note was just like, oh, I thought that was his flat. It just went back there, and he just happened to have a collection of creepy mannequins. But now I know better. It actually makes the film a little worse knowing now that it wasn't even that.
Is that possible? Is that possible?
Yeah, somehow we've achieved it.
Got it.
But no, I have no other notes for Die Hard 5 except
Okay. All right. So
don't do it.
we will now play another game. This game is called 6 Degrees of Bruce Willis. Okay. The idea is similar to 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. I will give you the name of an actor, and you need to connect that actor to Bruce Willis via
Okay.
connections in movies. Okay. So
All right.
your first one, we're gonna go with an easy one. Your first one's Kevin Spacey.
Oh, Kevin Spacey. Let's see. I feel now that so I'm gonna have performance anxiety where I'm just gonna be like I'll just freeze up and I'll be like so there probably is like a really easy Kevin Spacey, where like he was literally in a film with Bruce Willis and I'm not thinking of. But let's see. Kevin Spacey is I'm just trying to remember. Is Morgan Freeman in Red? Is he
Yes.
in one of the Red movies?
Yes, he is.
Also, Kevin Spacey is in Seven with Morgan Freeman, who was in Red
Okay,
with
there you
Bruce
go.
Willis.
Perfect. So the one I got was Bruce Willis was in North with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who was in A Bug's Life with Kevin Spacey.
No? Oh, there you go. There you
Okay.
go.
Yeah. Perfect.
Although I totally forgot that Julie Louis-Dreyfus was in A
There
Bug's Life as well. But
you go. Your next one is Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. Okay. I think I've got one. I'm just trying to make sure that it's definitely a connection in my head. Okay. Oh no, both definitely was both of them. Okay, so Dennis Quaid is in The Substance with Demi Moore, who is in Beavis and Butthead Do America with Bruce Willis.
Okay, that's great. She was also in Mortal Thoughts with Bruce Willis.
Oh, there you go. I was thinking too, because I can know like, oh, they were married, but like, what was the movie they were in together? It's like they must have made it like an erotic thriller back in the day, and then all my head was just going Beavis and Butthead. So I was like, oh yeah, they did that together.
Okay, all right, that's a good one. The one that I was going to use is Dennis Quaid was in Breaking Away with Hart Wachner, who was in Die Hard with Bruce Willis.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
That is, to be fair, a deeper cut
Yeah.
than
All right. Next one is Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Do you think that would be like an instant like, oh, of course, but let's see. I feel like this one's like a so because Tom Cruise has done so much stuff that it's almost like a you're spoiled for like it's a drowning in the wealth of like potential routes of like oh God, like where there's so many options and stuff to try to narrow down to like, but which one leads to Bruce Willis? I think I was gonna do a cheeky reverse engineer thing there. I'll have been like, oh, Tom Cruise is in Tropic Thunder with Robert Downey Jr. Who was in the MCU with Gwyneth Paltrow, who was in
You
Seven with Morgan Freeman, who was in
can do
But I was just like, no, I can't just like
that.
I landed on that one a couple of months ago. I was like, I can't cheat and do that. That's too, it'd be too. I feel it'll be too dishonest of me to do things that way. I'm trying to. I'm just really trying to think of like. It's just yeah, when you're confronted with things, you're just like, oh man, like what? Trying to get my brain fired up in all cylinders, but it's just the tension's there. Like oh, da-da-da. Well, the thing is, though, you can once again do a little cheat of Tom Cruise being in A Few Good Men with Demi Moore, who was in Beavis and Butthead Do America with Bruce Willis.
Again, that's
But I
fair.
don't. I,
That is fair.
yeah, it is a yeah. But I feel like I'm shortchanging you that way. But I'm like, I'm just gonna reiterate the one I did before. For the purposes of the recording not going on too long, I'll go with that one.
Okay. So the one that I
Yeah.
found was Tom Cruise was in Top Gun with Kelly McGillis, who was in North with Bruce Willis.
You're really hitting up like that the Bruce Willis in that bunny suit, man. I'll tell you that.
Seriously. Okay.
But no, I think that one, though, there was the tension of like, oh, Jesus Christ, there's bound to be like a million of a Tom Cruise. And I was like, oh, I can't take a million now.
Yeah.
But
Okay, I understand. All right. Next one is River Phoenix.
River Phoenix, okay. Okay, so River Phoenix is in My Own Private Idaho with Keanu Reeves, who is in Dracula with Gary Oldman, who's in The Fifth Element with Bruce Willis.
Excellent. That was great.
There we go.
I liked it. I liked it. The one I did was River Phoenix was in Sneakers with Sidney Poitier, who was in The Jackal with Bruce Willis.
Ah, there you go. There you
Okay, and your final one is Robert Pattinson.
go. Ooh. They're gonna find like, but there's gotta be that Twilight connect to Bruce Willis now. But of course, Robert Pattinson's a guy with like a wide ranging, really, really good acting career now. So, okay, so Robert Pattinson is in The Lighthouse with Willem Dafoe, who is in The Life Aquatic with Bill Murray, who's in Moonrise Kingdom with Bruce Willis.
Very nice.
There you
Okay,
go. That
and
Wes Anderson, him hiring the same actors over and over really helped in that
yeah,
scenario.
seriously.
Like,
And I'm actually going to go with a Harry Potter reference. So Robert Pattinson was in Harry Potter, The Goblet of Fire, with Robbie Coltrane, who was in Ocean's 12 with Bruce Willis.
oh, there you go.
Yes. All right, and so
Okay, yeah.
now we will play the final. State your motto with you. Today you will be given the state of Washington. All right. And
Ah,
your choices
all right.
are A, not Washington D.C., Washington the state. It's on the West Coast.
Where they
So,
said Twilight.
okay.
I
That's
found
true.
that out this last weekend.
Okay, good. I'm glad you know that. So your choices are A, mountaineers are always free. B, by and by, or C, Eureka, I have found it.
I feel like because it is sort of like mountainous terrain, mountaineers are always free because it's on the border as well, right? Washington, it's like up north.
Yeah, it is on the border.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
that's
gonna
your
go with
guess?
that though, because the other ones, yeah, I would have thought of been something more like political because it's having Washington D.C. in there. But the other ones, like by and by, doesn't sound like all like that would mean all that much. And Eureka is like that's, I would associate that with Einstein, and that's I wouldn't associate him with America. So like in that, yeah, I'm gonna go with the Mountaineers one.
Okay, and the answer is B, by and by.
Oh wow! So what's what's by and by mean?
I have absolutely no idea. It's from in the Indian tribe Chinook. It's
Okay. Oh well. Fair. Yeah. No, that's wild then. That's
Alki, something like that. That's what it means.
yeah. Oh, now I know. Well, wait, I would ask about the where the Mountaineers one is from, but then I don't want to. Again, you've probably got spoilers for other episodes here,
That's
so I
right.
don't want to
That's
step
right.
on anyone's toes.
All right. So, Niall, would you like to, for one final time this season, tell people where they can find Niall McGowan?
Yeah, well, our main show, which will be coming back again for a new season very soon, is Bat Minutes, where we're covering the Batman films 1 minute at a time. And this year we'll be going way back to do Batman 66, the Adam West movie, 1 minute at a time. If you don't like so much Batman, we do also have sort of side episodes, hiatus episodes between seasons, which are things like related to Batman. Which you also put a lot of time and effort into, including we looked at all the Prince movies, for instance. We looked at Mars Attacks, Joel Schumacher's Phantom of the Opera, things like that. And we'll have an episode I'm really looking forward to, talking about The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, coming out very soon as well, which is a absolutely bonkers film to revisit after so long. And also, of course, written by the guy who wrote Batman Returns. Yeah, you can find us on all good podcatchers, Spotify, Also, YouTube, and our social medias include Instagram, which I'm very active on, and the Facebook, the Batman Listeners Cave on Facebook, where that's just sort of our town hall, as it were. People come in and throw in anything Batman or Batman adjacent into the conversational mix. And yeah, everyone, all are welcome, to quote that one lady from Poltergeist.
Excellent. All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@moviearound.net. So, Niall, thank you very much for enduring this these 15 minutes with me of this movie. I do
better,
appreciate it.
It better be a good movie next time, Rob. I swear to God, man. Like, after this, it's gonna be like a masterpiece you got lined up for the next season.
All right. I will be back tomorrow with another guest who will also have to endure another 15 minutes of this movie. But until then, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me, it ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one.